Alrighty. Good to be before you again. Let's open up. We're going to do part three of the series, Finally. You know, where the verses that begin with the statement, finally, which we've talked about two previous messages, and that word finally means basically the things that remain, the things that remain. So things that have to be addressed at the close of a letter typically is where these show themselves. Last week we did Philippians 3. This week we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Last week we talked about some beatitude. At the end of the message I said, so these are kind of beatitudes from the Apostle Paul, and it was like, beware the dogs, beware evil workers, beware the false circumcision. Tonight we're going to pick it up in 2 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 11, and we're going to look at a few more of what we'll call beatitudes that come from Paul, where there's things that say be, and then a exhortation is filled in on the end of that statement. So 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11 is all we're going to read, and we're going to work off of that tonight. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Let's go to our great God in prayer. Lord Jesus, we are thankful again for you and for the execution of the plan you put forth from before really the foundation of all things created. And that was for you to come into the world in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, that you'd be willing to set the example for us of how to live a life in service and faith, glorifying the true God. We thank you again that you're willing to lay down your life to bring us back into fellowship with you. For those of us that heeded the message and allowed ourselves to be put under the gospel call to obey it. And then we know that we were ones that had not only our sins forgiven, but you gave the Holy Spirit to us as well, designating that we belong to you. So tonight I just pray for this message, that it would be clear, that it would bring glory and honor to you, and in the process of bringing across these principles that are contained in this verse tonight, that it would help to further encourage, edify, and equip the saints for the work of service. We know that's what you've entrusted to us as your people. So we ask all this, Lord Jesus, and we ask it in your name. You are the Christ. Amen. All right, so we'll talk about, you know, these beatitudes. You know, we talked about rejoice in the Philippians passage last time I was before you, because that passage starts out, finally, brethren, rejoice. Again, I say, you know, so we've already covered the rejoice, which just means you're favored, be well. Or if somebody uses it in a salutation, it just means favored one, you know. Or if you leave somebody, farewell, literally meaning I'm praying you'll fare well, okay? So you'll see it translated that way in the New Testament. So on to our passage tonight. So we want to be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded. This is written to a congregation that we have the two letters. Just an example of one congregation that we have among many here in the New Testament that demonstrate, and these letters are there to demonstrate that there's going to be a process of people coming into Christ and as they grow into maturity. And we know what the goal is, right? We want to grow into the knowledge of the Son of God, right? Fullness of the measure of the stature, which belongs to Christ. That's the goal. The assemblies are designed to equip us for that, right? But there's a process. So you're going to see all kinds of things in these letters that are being dealt with. So there's always going to be a contingent of people that are new, some that are on the way, others that are more mature. And there's issues that are going to arise as those, the perspectives that are present in the assembly at any given time. Is everybody going to understand every verse exactly the same at the same time? Unlikely. Is it possible? Absolutely. I believe that we all should be able to say, I understand as a Christian what Acts 2:38 says. But there's some other passages that we may go to and go, I'm not sure that I fully am where you are, where you claim that this is communicating, Kevin. I'm not sure I'm with you on that. And that's okay, you know, because they may not have gone as deep into the study of that topic as maybe others have. So why do I say that, brethren? Because The problem in the churches in the New Testament and the churches today are still the same thing. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. Everybody loves the idea of forgiveness of sins when it comes to them. Where the problems come in is when they have to forgive somebody else who sinned against them. That's where the problems rise with most congregations. Somebody wronged me, or somebody is perceived to have been wronged by somebody. You know, and then what happens is, rather than following the prescription that the Lord gives us in His Word, we decide we're going to do our own thing. Right, I'm going to hold that grudge. I'm going to not going to forgive. I'm the exception to the rule. Whatever. So we see that all the time, and so we've got to deal with those. So we're looking at two letters to the church in Corinth, which, you know, if you read it in context, you come away, and if you're not a Christian, you're reading, you're going, this is what Christianity is about? Man, this place looks like a chocolate mess. You know, yeah, they had issues they were working through. They had issues. People coming out of paganism into Christianity, all right? They're dealing with that. You know, they have to leave their culture behind, which is not easy. It's got a lot of pull on you. All of us that have come out of it and left a lot of family members behind that are very worldly or involved in other religious endeavors, you know what I mean by this. The pressure is intense, all right? And there's a pull. But the other thing that seems to show up all the way through most of these letters is there's always another influence working its way in the assemblies, isn't it? It's always something devilish, demonic, coming through, trying to pull people away. With Paul, in his case, with the church in Corinth, it was those who presented themselves as false apostles. So this is, you know, the backdrop. Most of us are aware of this. Some of our newer brothers and sisters in Christ may not have read through these letters very closely and understand all that stuff. So what Paul is doing is he says, I want you to understand, brethren, finally, I'm finishing off my second letter here. You know, and if you read previously, he says, man, you better hope I don't come a third time, because I'm telling you, if I come again, I will not spare anyone. All right? That's up there in verse 2 of this chapter, all right? So he's saying here, he says, okay, let's resolve this the way it should be resolved. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. You know, farewell, be favored, all right? Be made complete. Now, usually when we see the word complete in the New Testament, we always think, oh, that's that word teleos. It means perfect, complete, mature, whatever. It's not that word. It's not that word. The word is katharizo, all right? That's what it is. And it's a word that brings the meaning of something being brought to completion via repair, adjustment, or equipping. Or if you've got a little note in your, version of my printed Bible here, but I do on my olive tree, which I'm trying to get up here so I can. There's a little note right by "be made complete," which is going to help you with the understanding of this word in the Greek. And you'll have a little note if you have the olive tree app, where it says "be made complete." You'll have a little note, and when you click on it, it'll say, "Put yourselves in order." So see, what's there is a really good encapsulation of what this word means. Everything's supposed to be put in order. There's a reason that things are being done the way they're being done. And it's going to require what? Mending, repairing, fixing, adjusting, equipping. All these things are going to be involved, right? So that's going to be the process in the church. So Paul's saying, look, there's problems. We're not going to hide them. We've discussed them. So here's what we do. Let's be made complete. Let's put ourselves in order. What do you say? You know, that's his exhortation to the congregation in Corinth. Put yourselves in order. Okay, Paul, I got it. If you go back to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, I'm not going to go there, but you read it, you'll see Paul opens up his first letter to the Corinthians with similar exhortations. I'm going to give you the chance to go back and read it. Time is limited, so I can't do it tonight. All right? Check it out. Just like in Romans, he starts out, you know, with the purpose is to bring the obedience of faith to the Gentiles in chapter 1. He closes it in Romans 16 with the same statement. See, he likes to open up. When he's done communicating, reaffirm what the goal has been. So it's the whole goal that he's had from the beginning when he was working with the church, when all the issues are brought to his attention, right on to the end of this second letter. I am still working on the same thing. I want you guys to put yourselves in order. That's the answer. We're going to figure out how do we do that. Okay? Well, we do it, obviously, through the Word of God, right? And through the exhortation that came from Paul. All right, so, but let's look at a few other places where this word is used, just to kind of give you an idea. All right, so let's, like if you go into, I'm not going to use these, but go to Galatians 6, that's where I do want to go. In Matthew and Luke, this word is used, and it's, one of them is when the second group of two are called by Jesus as his disciples, after Peter and Andrew, he calls James and John, and when he calls them, what were they involved doing? They were mending the nets. That's this word, katarizo. That's that word. They were mending their nets, okay? In Luke 6, this congregation used to be a very prominent passage, Luke 6:40, because Luke Wilson, who was the evangelist here for 25 years or more, used to say one of his favorite verses is when the pupil is fully trained, the disciple, when he is fully trained, will be like his master. Guess what fully trained is? Katarizo. When the disciple is lined out, put in order, he'll be just like his master, right? There's a process. That's what's being communicated. So Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Restore. Remember, mend, fix, adjust, equip. What's involved when you mend something? You're restoring something, aren't you? See? So what's the restoration movement's principles? We're going to restore the people to the Word of God. See, that's the principle in the restoration movement. We're going to restore the people to the Word of God, the authority of the Word of God. It's the way the whole thing got kicked off, what is our background of the people who brought forth this process way back in the early 1800s, of which is referred to as the restoration movement. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And again, we're just going to zip through a bunch of things, just kind of give you an idea. What is Paul driving at when he makes a statement in 2 Corinthians 13? What does he mean? What are some? Give me some examples, Paul. What do we do here? So 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Well, begin verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account, as we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. What's Paul saying? Hey, this is a pretty good operation going on in Thessalonica. You read about this church, they're well spoken of. But what's he saying? There's still some things we're going to need to equip you with. Some things we're going to have to put in order, arrange, okay? You can go on and read. And what was the big issue in Thessalonica that was getting them? Oh, the Lord's second coming. Well, we missed it, right? So there were still issues to be arranged and worked out, right? This word is also used. We'll just take a look at a couple in Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go over there, chapter 10. You can kind of see this is going to be, there's 35 times or so this verb is used in the New Testament. I'm not going through all 35, obviously. Hebrews 10, verse 4. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have katarizod for me. He arranged and put everything in order, didn't he? He arranged it in order. What did he do beforehand? All those prophecies, everything that was going to take place. See? I want you to see that. So it's also got this idea of there's something being prepared. You know, you're mending a net. What for? Well, I'm preparing it for the next time I'm going to throw it out to grab fish, right? All these concepts should be coming through, and I think they probably are because I'm repeating myself a lot. Hebrews 11:3, by faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared, arranged in order, put in order. Right? By the word of God. He had a reason for doing it. Somebody's going to come up to you and say, but why? Why did God even start this whole thing? If he's going to let evil come, and they'll ask you all these questions. Well, it started because of rebellion in heaven. Right? In the eternal realm, when the angels rebelled. That's why this all came about. So he had to prearrange it. You'll hear guys say, so what he did is he put it all, rearranged it, and then ran it backwards, right? He had it all lined out and then started it back in Genesis, even though he had the completed picture. So, again, help me out here. What are we doing, Paul? What's going on here? 13:21 in Hebrews. Verse Verse 20, now the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, Jesus our Lord, equip you, katharizo, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, that's a really good summary statement. He's equipping you for every good thing to do his will. That's what this is all about. That's why the assemblies come together. Why we don't want to have these petty little fights. It's going to absolutely stop the forward momentum of us reaching out to people or helping one another to grow in Christ, right? We got to be able to be equipped for every good thing to do his will, working in us, each one of us, that which is pleasing in his sight, right? So that we can glorify Jesus Christ. There were problems galore in the church in Corinth, right? And when the letters close, like I said, if you look at the context, Paul gives them a pretty sharp, hey, you don't want me coming again, you know, a third time. Because I'm telling you, I'm not sparing anybody. So that, you know, that's in context, brethren. But then he closed up saying, now look, here's what we want to do. I want you to farewell, be made complete. Let's get things put in order. Whatever you realize needs to be done, let's get them put in order. Know who's teaching the true stuff. Reject the guys who claim they're apostles but aren't. Here's the evidence of who I was, who I am. You know, he goes through all that. And he's calling them back to his own personal example, which we're going to get to here next. Now, there's a lot more I could go through, but for the sake of time, I'm going to have to cut some of this out. So the results whenever we're called to be made complete, brethren, are going to be predicated or prevented based upon whether we individually decide to take the necessary action. So he's saying, be made complete. It's a present imperative. This has to be done type of it. And it's pointed at each individual. You be made complete. You plural. You be made complete. So it's incumbent upon each of us, isn't it? I don't care what that person over there is doing. I mean, I do. Don't get me wrong. But I can't control that person, can I? But I can control me. That's what this is all about. That's what he's trying to get on about. Okay? So, if there's no action to mend, fix, put things in order, equip, whatever, no, there's no going to be no restoration of any problems that exist, and there'll be no reconciliation, and now you got a problem between you and God if there's no reconciliation. You really do. Because you've been entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. If you can't be reconciled to a brother or sister over something that can be reconciled, don't get me wrong, there are certain things that can happen where, you know, we understand from the scripture that we let that person out, they go, right? But if this is something that can be fixed, it needs to be fixed. There's no place in the church for long-term, you know, grudges or the unwillingness to forgive. It will destroy. It will destroy. All right? Be comforted, he says. Be comforted. This is nothing but the verb form of the word that we know for, you know, the comforter, parakletos. It's parakaleo is the word. And this 109 times. I'm not going to go through a bunch. All right? But it's the main thrust of this word is you're called alongside to some exhortation or example. Paul does both in the letters to the Corinthians. You know, he says, you know, imitate me, right? 1 Corinthians 10, as I imitate Jesus. That's an exhortation. Come alongside. So we all want to be able to look to the congregation, don't we, at some point. If you're in leadership particularly, fellas, okay, and gals. Some of you gals are going to be presumed leadership among the women in this congregation. You need to understand this well. You want to be able to look at them and say, follow me, and mean it. Not follow me, but follow me, right? And you'll follow the one that leads by example every time. We all know the boss that got down in the pit with us doing the dirty work, getting whatever done when it needed to be done, didn't complain, was in there encouraging you, getting the job done. You, that guy, you'd follow anywhere and listen to, right? Versus the boss who kicked his feet up on the desk in the back. You boys get out there and do it. Don't expect me to come help. I don't want to put my hands in the grease. I don't do this, right? You're like, don't care much for that boss. I think all of us have had one or the other. Same thing in the Lord's church, right? So be comforted. There's an example here. Be encouraged. Okay, how am I encouraged, Paul? There's a bunch of problems in this congregation. Well, who's doing the right things? Oftentimes I've dealt with people and they've asked me to get involved with problems and there's two involved. I always say this when they, I go, okay, I heard both. I just want to ask you a question. Who's going to do the right thing? That one. They'll point to, well, what about you? You can't control that one. The answer should be, I will. I'll do the right thing. Right? Be comforted. Be encouraged. Do the right thing. Be called alongside to Christ's example. Didn't he forgive us when we were yet in our sins? Well, I can't forgive a brother and sister who sinned against me. But Jesus forgave you when you were in your sin. Oh, well, that's different. What? There's a disconnect for me, brothers and sisters. There's a disconnect. I don't get it. I don't get it. You can't hold those grudges. You have to come out of that. You have to say, I can forgive that person, and we can work together as long as we're both willing to do what? Be made complete. Katarizo. A little equipping, a little of putting things in order, right? Mending, repairing. Both. All of us. All right? So, you know, we know this word's used all over the place. I'm not going to give you a lot of passages to look at other than that's the general gist of this word. And it's used 109 times. So you can look up in your Bible or in your electronic and check this. Be comforted. Okay, what's this all about? Show me some passages. You can go and look at plenty yourself. I've got limited time tonight and I want to get through this. So, here's what happens is you're in the process of mending, restoring, remedying, adjusting, right? All the spiritual perspectives that you need to deal with. You're going to receive comfort, aren't you? Because you're going to go, hey, we're both following that example that the apostles gave us through their teaching and instruction that Jesus himself gave us, right? And we're encouraged, hey, I can be encouraged by this. I can be comforted by that. We're working the right way. This can be resolved positively. How many of you have a really, really certain or feel really good about the political divisions in America being resolved? Okay. We have one wayward sojourner over there. Look, right now, I just don't see any way. Because why? One side considers the other side the enemy, and they will not give an inch in either direction. All right? Now, I kind of like gridlock myself. That's when no laws are passed, and we don't lose any more of our freedoms or resources. So I'm all for gridlock. All right? So anyway, that's just my political opinion. So let's talk about the last one. Move fast off of that. Be like-minded. Okay, this is the Greek word phroneo. And this is all over, and it's the basic meaning is the way you exercise, or you guys will recognize this, set the mind. So now all of a sudden you went, oh, set the mind. Romans 8, right? Yes. It's all over in Romans 8. So let's go to Romans 8. Right? And it's in Colossians 3 where Jared was earlier tonight in his Lord's Supper. But let's just go to Romans 8. Let's take a look at just a few of them. All right? And it's got the word in front of it, autus. Autus, okay, phroneo in the form of that verb. And it just means one, okay, one. When it's done that way, when you put autus in front of a verb like that, it means be together, be unified in this, be one. All right, Romans 8:5. For those who are according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those according to spirit, things of spirit. Very important, isn't it? What's Paul saying? Brethren, he did say it earlier in the first letter to him. He said, I can't give you the meat because you're still fleshly. Still mere men. He says, you're still thinking like men. We got to get you out of that. Start thinking spiritual, right? So everything spiritual is what's really important. I know you guys know this, but it's just good to go through this again, right? You know, and in Philippians 3, we got have this attitude in yourself as was in Christ Jesus. Attitude, mindset. That's that word. For now, okay? Romans, let me see. There's several in Romans. Okay, like let's look at some of the derivatives of this. Just keep on reading in where we were at. Verse 6 of Romans 8. For the mind set on the flesh, bing, there it is again, is death. But the mind set on the spirit, life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh. See, it's just, boy, hammering it home, isn't it? Way you are thinking, right? The way you exercise your mind or you set the mind. It's all in the way you decide you're going to intellectually run these things out, calculate these things out. And God's saying, you got to run it on what? You got to appraise it and value it from a spiritual perspective. You can't run it on the world's valuation or appraisal system. Cannot do it. See? And I've been on that kick for a long time now, and I told you whenever I get the opportunity, I'm going to bring it in. But it's here. That's exactly what it's talking about. Appraisal and valuation. It's all about that. Verse 7, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. It does not subject itself to the law of God. It is not even able. All right? So, let me see. Let's grab another one here in Romans. Let's go to Romans 12. We got a couple of them in Romans 12. Okay? So why do you guys hammer on mindset? Pretty important about us being of one mind. That's why. Okay? Romans 12. Verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. There it is. Then you have a mindset of, okay? But to judge or to think so as to have sound judgment. So this is talking about, in the derivatives, we're talking about the right mindset equals sound judgment. Oh, cool. Got it. So if I have the right mindset, I'm going to... That's what's being communicated here, okay? All right. As God has allotted to each a measure of faith. There's the understanding that there's going to be people who aren't going to be in the same location as you, maybe haven't gotten all the way through this topic or this idea as far as you have, and you're a little bit ahead of them. Maybe they're a little behind you, or maybe there's somebody in front of you, and you're behind them. All right? So, understand, it's a process here. 12:16. Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind. Have this mindset. That's what he's saying there. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. What was one of the problems again in Corinth? Some of the dead rose to the top. They were being deemed as part of the approved group, right? And there's problems with the way they're looking at each other, right? You know, some were comparing themselves with themselves without understanding. Okay. So all this stuff comes through when you study these words out, you look at the way Paul closes this letter, he's just going back over things he's already talked about, saying here's what we need to get arranged, put in order, fixed, mended, repaired, equipped, prepared, you know, whatever. All right? Let me see. One more. 15:5 in Romans. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement, now where does that come from? The Scriptures, verse 4, in context. I better read it. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now he follows it up by saying, now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement, how? The Scripture, grant you to be of the same mind. How are we going to be of the same mind? Same book. Same book. That's how. All right. With one another according to Christ Jesus. So that with one accord, you can see Lord's a Honda guy, you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right. So, Philippians. We got to touch on Philippians because this is another one where all this mindset comes through. Got to hit them real quick. Philippians 2. Remember, he called them, be comforted, be encouraged. Philippians in 2 Corinthians 13:11. Philippians 2:1. Therefore, if there is any comfort, any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete, Paul says in the Philippians, by being of the same mind. Have the same mindset. Focus on the things that matter. Maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. That one purpose is, again, that same word, phroneo. Just communicate a little bit differently in context so the translators bring it across that way. But it's the same thing. make my joy complete by being of the same mind, right? And then intent on the same mind, right? So what's our goal? We all want to think alike when it comes to this, the scripture, right? Look at this. We're not all the same. I'm not saying that. But we want to think alike. We want to delve into issues. We want to be honest when we're delving into issues. We don't want to try to make a concept say what we want it to say. You can get into all kinds of word studies, and I've done many, brethren, and you can prove that some words in certain contexts have a different meaning than they do in other contexts. So you can't just say, this word always means this. No, it doesn't. Okay? That's a hard lesson to learn for some people, but it's important, right? But we do want to be of one mind, you know, figuring this out. So if a brother or sister we think has got something misunderstood, those of you who are more spiritual, restore, catarizo, restore such a one, right? You go to them and say, hey, I think you haven't seen this word used in this or this concept used in this context. Check it out. Notice this is not the same as over here, which, you know, you seem to think it's only this all the time. Notice how that doesn't work here. Do you see that in context? You know, that's how you work through it with people. There's many words that are communicate differences in the way they're used. Okay? So, and we got to understand that. And we can't be resistant when somebody says, well, look, you know, here's what this word says here, and there's many of them. And I could raise one, but I'm not going to deny it. Okay? But there was one that was raised recently that that word, if you do a word study, can be categorized at least three different ways. Okay? So, all right? So we got to be careful when we got to say, this means this. You know, careful. Careful. Context tells you a lot, right? Okay. So, let me see. We're in Philippians 2. I want to get that. So we got make my joy complete. Same mind. Okay. Intent on same mind, one purpose. Down to verse 5. Have this attitude I mentioned earlier. Have this mindset, the same mind in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus. Although he exists in the form of God, didn't regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. You don't need to be in control of everything. You don't need to grasp it, be in control. All right? He had to let that go to come and take on the human body. Right? Am I wrong or am I right? He's not on a throne in heaven per se, right? He's down here on earth mingling with the masses. He had to let that go. You know what a big problem is in churches today too, in the assemblies? Somebody always thinks they got to control everything. No, you don't. Think like Christ. Emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. You don't get to be the boss. If anything, you get to be the bondservant. Right? Now, it doesn't mean we don't have people in leadership or we don't need people. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's a mindset that hits people where they feel like, I've got to control everything. It's got to go my way. No, that's unscriptural. At its very core, unscriptural. Being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance of men, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We read over that. We don't really contemplate that or think about it. There'll come a time when one of us, or many of us, may have to lay down our lives for the remainder in this body. We don't know. We really don't know. That's when this will become real. You mean so-and-so laid down their death so the rest of us could live? That's kind of becoming obedient to the point of death, isn't it? We read over this stuff. We don't think about it. You know? I'm just trying to get you guys to think, think, think. think. All right? So, and me too. This is directed at me as well. All right, brother? Me as well. So, all right. We know what the problems were in Corinth. All right? Divided by cliques. Distracted by false apostles. All right? What was Paul's fix? It was simple. Be like-minded. Be encouraged. Be comforted. Look at the things that you can follow that are you're called alongside to follow. All right? Trust the scriptures. That's what we've been given. It will develop perseverance and encouragement. The scripture. Follow it. Be of like mind. Be one purpose. Intent on one purpose. One mindset. Everything. What are we doing? I'm here to serve. And then the biggest example, which was repeated this morning by several individuals, and Jared talked about it in his Lord's Supper, was what we saw yesterday, those of us that were able to be a part of that wedding. And report that came back to Jared from his neighbor. Man, you guys seem to like each other. And we laughed. But that's the problem in most congregations. They don't like each other. Because they are not going to follow the Scripture or the exhortation of the Scripture. We actually like each other. You guys are deserving of all kinds of kudos. You really are. You're a wonderful group. You really are. But, I mean, what did we see? We were all working together in service to bring honor to Ann and Bill on their wedding day, right? Man, it was awesome. It was great. Everybody had great attitude. I didn't see anybody walking around, what's Bill and Ann getting all the attention for? It's always Bill, always Ann. You know, right? We didn't see that. We were all engaged in serving one another. And we were all up. It went flawlessly, no problem, that I'm aware of. None. So it was wonderful. So when you're engaged in serving, brethren, that's when things work. And you look at Corinth and they're engaged in saying, serve me, instead of serve one another. So let's just take these lessons and understand. These are things that we need to be aware of, because what's the world trying to do right now? Divide us. Any way possible, divide us. Politically. So, you know, I'm always a little, and I'm going a little long, but I just want to, you know, it's political season pretty much all the time anymore in America, but we're really coming up on political season, and this can be a charged time where people can make statements that can really get people fired up, right? And will divide even among the body of Christ. I do not care who you vote for, per se. That is your choice. I just ask you to be well-educated, understand the freedoms that we have, okay, that came through the biblical principles that instituted in the Constitution of this land, and vote accordingly. That's the only thing I would ask. But don't let, if your guy doesn't win, or whoever it might be, maybe it'll be a gal in the end, we don't know. But if they don't win, don't make it a big deal. Don't all of a sudden say, well, that person voted. Who cares? I vote for Jesus for king. How about you guys? Yeah. See that? We're all agreed. That was easy. Jesus for king. Done. So, just be understanding. All right, so restoration is what the church needs. Amen? Always in a restoration mode. Always. All right? So let's be comforted as we see the progress made as we're working towards one right mindset, working on sound judgment that comes from the perseverance and the encouragement and the hope we have in the Scriptures. Amen? Thanks for your guys' attention. Let's pray. Great God, we thank you again for the preservation of your word, and it is that which we can implant and will save our souls, but it also, in your word, is the encouragement that we desperately need, particularly in dark times that we see now in our culture and really throughout most of the world. And that's that we can be comforted that the word is true, that everything you've promised will come about. And we just need to understand that there is one who is sowing discontent, doubt, and discouragement. And he is your enemy and our enemy. So we need to be aware that we need to fight for the unity that comes as we hold true to your word, and that you, Lord, are the true sovereign and true God. So help us to push forward as we take this word to the world, and as we look to bring people out of the darkness into your marvelous light, that you may be glorified. And I ask this through you, Lord Jesus. You are the Christ. Amen.